السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to Nur al-Quran 2017 for Lesson 3, inshallah. I hope you're all well, sisters, listeners online and here too. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to return for Juz 3, inshallah. نحمده ونسلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My Lord, expand for me my breast and make my work easy for me and loosen the knot from my tongue so that they may understand my speech. رب زدنا علما. O my Lord, increase us in knowledge. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. O Allah, grant us the understanding of Deen. Ameen. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa amalan mutaqabbala wa rizqan tayyiba. O Allah, indeed, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, acceptable deeds, and pure provision. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope you've all been reflecting, inshallah, as we start our third juz. Reflecting on what we've studied in Juz 1 and 2. Yes? Can I hear you?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I'd like to say congratulations to all listeners. What for, you may ask? Because you took the first step, alhamdulillah, we're about to start Juz 3. Who would have thought that in just 2-3 days we'd travel through so many ayahs? But all thanks. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've managed to do that. So without further ado, inshallah, verse 253, Surah Al-Baqarah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. تلك الرسل فضلنا بعدهم على بعد منهم من كلم الله. Those messengers we preferred, some of them to others. To some of them Allah spoke directly, others He raised to degrees of honor. And to Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam alayhi salam, we gave clear proofs and evidences and supported him with Ruhul Qudus Jibreel. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after clear verses of Allah had come to them. But they differed. Some of them believed and others disbelieved. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another. But Allah does what He likes. Subhanallah. Messengers were sent as warners and bringers of glad tidings. But they were treated varyingly in different ways by the nations that they were sent to. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred some to others. We have the last messenger sent for the Muslim Ummah and for all of mankind. How do we consider the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We're looking at the Holy Quran this year, Dhar al-Quran 2017, through the light of the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we hear of an order or a command laid out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do we take it as a burden or as a bliss? And this is the difference. It's a complete contrast when we hear that messengers are warners and bringers of good news. Why? Because warners for those who are misbehaving. A warning is only for somebody who's out of line. And bringers of good news for those who are abiding by the rules. But how do I personally take when I hear a sunnah? How do I find it? Do I take it as a burden or am I happy to obey? So, message for all of us. Think about it, reflect. And how many sunnah can I roll off? How many hadith can I roll off? Just straight away, do I know the hadith books? The Prophet ﷺ left his hadith in main books of hadith. If you'd like to name some for me, please, you'll get a prize. Who can give me 4 books of hadith, please? Sister, you'd like to say?
Bukhari.
Sahih Bukhari, good. Sahih Muslim.
Ahmad.
Tirmidhi, excellent, good. Sisters, let's look at our connection with the Quran, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba this Ramadan. As if our connections are strong, we will feel more inclined to obeying and knowing what they want from us. Verse 254. O you who believe, spend of that of with which we have provided for you, before a day comes when there will be no bargaining, no friendship, nor intercession, and it is the disbelievers who are the wrongdoers. Verse 254 is instructing us to what? One important word there. What's the important word, Sister Saita? Spend. Excellent. If you just highlight the word spend. Telling us to spend. All our blessings are our resources to be used, not to be wasted. We've gone into this out-of-date culture, especially in this side of the world. Where people have got little and scarce, they don't even look if the water's clean or dirty. But we, abundant in resources, are wasting because things have simply gone out of date. Question arises, why? Why do you buy so much that you have to throw away? We're being told to spend. What are we going to spend? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. So what does that include? Mainly wealth, money, exactly. But, yes, energy, time, efforts, anything and everything. And then there's an immediate change in direction in the ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us verse 255. What's spectacular about 255? What's special about verse 255 without looking at it quickly? It is the ayah of the throne, the ayah of Kursi. Excellent, Sister Farah, answered that correctly. Good. Sisters, why spend and then why the ayah of the throne? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us immediately, who are you spending for? When you know that you're doing it for the greatest, what he's like, he's Hayyul Qayyum, then you want to do it. Do you understand? If I said to you, I'm collecting for a present for Mrs. X, you'll think, what? Who's Mrs. X? If on the other hand, I gave you a name and said, I'm collecting for a present for Sister Nabila, who's not here today at the moment. Yes? But you'll know her, so your inclination to give towards the present for her would be different, wouldn't it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know who he is, so you're not finding it hard to pay and give in his way. So we have the beautiful ayah of the throne, Ayatul Kursi. Allah ilaha illa hu. None has the right to be worshipped but he. Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them, his creatures, in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter. And they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. His kursi, his throne, extends over the heavens and the earth. Kursi, here before I continue, literally means a footstool or chair. But sometimes it's wrongly translated. Okay, so we need to take care. Arsh, throne, is mentioned in this verse. Okay, continuing on, his kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. And he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. And he is the most high, the most great. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing himself in this one verse. Almost 25 attributes just in one ayah. Giving us the importance of who he is, what he's like. He's in control of everything. He's everlasting. He knows everything that happened in the past. He knows what's going to happen in the future. And he knows what's going on today. Okay? Whereas no other person, no other being can ever know any all three. Subhanallah. He doesn't feel tired. We get tired after a short time. But he is the most high and he is the greatest. Subhanallah. And then, verse 256, there is no compulsion in religion. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. Whoever disbelieves in Tawhut, what is Tawhut? I did mention it slightly yesterday. Tawhut is, loud and clear please, false gods, yes. Whoever disbelieves in Tawhut and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah is all hearer, all knower. No compulsion in religion is the start of verse 256. Here this often gets misinterpreted by the youth of today who say, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. Has anybody ever come across that? Who says that you have to do it? Because remember, they'll give you this reference as well and they say, but there's no compulsion in religion. There's no compulsion before you enter in. Once you're in, you're fully in. You can't mess around then. Okay? So no compulsion, no forcing somebody to come into it. Fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all that free choice. But can you mess about when you are an employer of someone? When you are employed by someone, can you then mess around? Can you then mess around? But if you don't work for anyone, then you can do as you like. When we have taken and accepted Islam, then you have to abide by Allah's laws. Because Allah is the wali, the protector or guardian of those who believe, subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, Allah is the wali of those who believe. He brings them out from darkness into light. I'm sure you'll all be feeling that you're enlightened now with the light of the Quran, yes? Whereas we were in doom and gloom, in darkness. What were the days of darkness referred to? The pre-Islamic times. Zahliya. The days of ignorance. So he brings them out from darkness into light. But as for those who disbelieve, their awliya, their supporters and helpers are tawhut, false deities. They bring them out from light into darkness. Those are the dwellers of the fire. And they will abide in it forever. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Now we have this. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Have you not looked at him who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord? Because Allah had given him the kingdom. Who's this referring to? If you know, put your hand up. Excellent. King Namrud. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, my Lord, Allah, is he who gives life and causes death? He said, I give life and cause death. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, verily Allah brings a son from the east, then bring it you from the west. So the disbeliever was utterly defeated. And Allah guides not the people who are the wrongdoers. Oh, like the one who passed by a town. So we have different examples now. Or like the one who passed by a town and it had tumbled over its roof. He said, oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to die for 100 years. For 100 years, then raised him up again. He said, how long did you remain dead? How long did you remain dead? He, the man, said, perhaps I remain dead a day or part of the day. He said, nay, you've remained dead for 100 years. Look at your food and your drink. They show no change. And look at your donkey. And thus we have made of you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. When this was clearly shown to him, he said, I know now that Allah is able to do all things. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed it him, and we are seeing these every day, aren't we? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah is able to do all things, sisters. Ever in trouble, ever in need, turn to Him who is able. People aren't able. We think they are, but we're a bit stupid when we do that. We slip. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have a... What's the blank? Fill the blank. When do you turn to someone? When you have a problem, okay. But when you believe, when you have a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have a good rapport, okay? You feel comfortable. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good times and bad times. And remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Subhanallah. Look at this. What was the title for Ibrahim alayhi salam, everybody? Everybody? Khalilullah. The friend of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah said, do you not believe? He, Ibrahim alayhi salam, said, yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith. He said, who's this he said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good. He said, take 4 birds, then cause them to incline towards you, then slaughter them, cut them into pieces, and then put a portion of them on every hill and call them. They will come to you in haste. And know that Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. Subhanallah. What do you see here in this questioning and answering by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ibrahim alayhi salam? Something I just mentioned before I read this ayah. The relationship, exactly. What sort of a relationship do you see it as, Sister Saika? A close one, exactly. A friendly one. It's reflecting the name, isn't it, Khalil? There's a friendship there. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sort of love and affectionate way that, show me, Ya Rab, how do you do it? So Allah ta'ala is then questioning, saying, what, don't you believe? No, I believe, but just to satisfy my heart. You know, just to satisfy myself, I'd like to know. Subhanallah. Question arises, what is my relationship like with my Rabbil Alameen? Is it a close one, or is it one that I'm afraid to show my face? Inshallah. Sisters, reflect. Because we all read yesterday that إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَوْنَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We read that verily, we belong to Allah and to Him we return. Question arises, how are we going to go back to Him? Happy and smiling, or embarrassed and disgraced? Astaghfirullah, hopeful. Sisters, keep striving, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we keep climbing, we go higher and higher. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of us, inshallah. Do Allah's work with love and passion. Don't waste time in disputes. Keep going, inshallah. Now from verse 261 onwards, just 266 roughly, we're going to see the etiquette for spending in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. When one gives, There's two types of giving, and then there's two extremes in the range. One end of the spectrum is 100% giving. Why? 100% giving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that spectrum goes in varying degrees to the other side of the spectrum when it's 100% for show. And the 100% for show is lost. Whereas the 100% for for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's see what happens. Verse 2, 6, 1. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, subhanAllah. What's the word for this, in the way of Allah? In Arabic? Fi sabilillah. Way is sabil, in the way of Allah. Fi sabilillah. This is often referred to as sadaqah, charity. Fi sabilillah, giving in the cause of Allah, giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is as the likeness of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. Allah gives manifold increase to whom He wills, and Allah is all sufficient for His creature's needs. O Noah, subhanAllah. In a nutshell, what is the number Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah that He will multiply the reward up to? What is it, please, everybody? 700. Subhanallah. One grain grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. Subhanallah. In the dunya, can anybody ever give you that sort of, we get buy one, get one free, and we buzz on it? Yes? But subhanAllah, 700. 700. Unimaginable. SubhanAllah. Those who spend their wealth in the cause of Allah and do not follow up their gifts with reminders of their generosity or with injury, their reward is with their Lord. Their reward is with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. SubhanAllah. This injury we looked at in detail when we did the tafsir, obviously. We'll just briefly touch on it. What is this injury? Can somebody just throw some light on that? Quickly. With reminders of their generosity or with injury? To remind them, exactly, or to insult or disgrace somebody because somebody's poor. Okay? To embarrass them. Kind words and forgiving of faults are better than sadaqah, followed by injury. Again, the last one. Dignity is of its utmost importance in our deen. Okay? Don't embarrass anyone for any reason whatsoever. Kind words and forgiving of faults are better than sadaqah, followed by injury. And Allah is rich, free of all needs, and He is most forbearing. O you who believe, do not render in vain your sadaqah. So we've got this word here now. Do not render in vain your sadaqah, charity. I think somebody questioned me on this yesterday, that what is sadaqah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that question straight away in the next lesson, subhanAllah. O you who believe, do not render in vain your sadaqah, charity, by reminders of your generosity or by injury. Or by injury. Third ayah and third time we see this word of injury. Disliked, disliked, discouraged again and again. Like him who spends his wealth to be seen of men. And he does not believe in Allah nor in the last day. His life, so subhanAllah, what is this describing? Up to there, what is it describing? Showing off, exactly, good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then giving us a parable. His likeness is the likeness of smooth rock on which is a little dust. On it falls heavy rain, which leaves it bare. They are not able to do anything with what they have earned, and Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. So it's as if they did nothing. And the likeness of those who spend their wealth seeking Allah's pleasure, while they in their own selves are sure and certain that Allah will reward them for their spending in His cause, is the likeness of a garden on a height. Garden on a height, heavy rain falls on it, and it doubles its yield of harvest. And if it does not receive heavy rain, light rain suffices it. And Allah is all-seer, knows well of what you do. This high ground, this second parable for a believer who spends with the right, what would the word be there, blank? With the right intention, excellent, Sister Rizia, good, mashallah. Yes, with the right intention is like the likeness of a garden on a height. Why high ground? High ground is metaphorically being used for a heart full of iman. Hit by a downpour, desperation to do good deeds. These are metaphorically used in relation to one's levels of iman. And then it will yield of harvest. And the yield of harvest will double. What is the yield of harvest? Opportunities to do good deeds with ikhlas. Would any of you wish to have a garden with date palms and wines? Put your hand up if you'd like a garden of date palms and wines. SubhanAllah. Sisters online, all the sisters' hands have gone up here, mashallah. Would any of you wish to have a garden with date palms and vines, with rivers flowing underneath, and all kinds of fruits for him in it, while he is stricken with old age, and his children are weak, not able to look after themselves, then it is struck with a fiery whirlwind, so that it is burnt. Thus does Allah make clear His ayah to you, that you may give thought. SubhanAllah. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us the gifts that can happen but then taken away if we are neglectful. O you who believe, spend of the good things which you have legally earned, and of that which we have produced from the earth for you. And do not aim at that which is bad to spend from it. You would not accept it, except if you close your eyes and tolerate therein. And know that Allah is rich and worthy of all praise. Verse 267 is again reminding us of the quality we give in Allah's way. So verse 266, I'd just like to share a hadith with you from Sahih al-Bukhari. Sorry. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 6, hadith number 62. Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, said, "This is an example for a rich man who does good deeds out of obedience to Allah. And then Allah sends him shaitan, whereupon he commits sins till all his good deeds are lost." This is the analogous in verse 266. Verse 267, just briefly, to give only what is good. Not to give things that you wouldn't even have when your eyes... If you were on the receiving end, you wouldn't like to take it. You'd cringe. But now we give those tatty old clothes that we don't want anymore. And when it comes to giving in Allah's way, we say, we'll search into our pockets and look for change and say, "Sorry, I've got no money." Astaghfirullah. Sisters, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the giver, is aware of what you have and what you don't have. Verse 268, shaitan threatens you with poverty. SubhanAllah. This is usually the fear one has, isn't it? That if you give this £10 away, then you have nothing left in your bag. So who's this threat from? Who are these whispers from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly telling us, shaitan threatens you with poverty and orders you to commit evil deeds, fashah, illegal sexual intercourse, whereas Allah promises you forgiveness from Himself and bounty, and Allah is all sufficient for His creature's needs, all knower. He grants hikmah to whom he pleases, and he to whom hikmah is granted is indeed granted abundant good. But none, remember, will receive admonition except men of understanding. Hikmah, what does hikmah mean? Wisdom, excellent. Hikmah literally means wisdom, but it means here the knowledge and the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. Sisters, congratulations to you all that you've taken this step for knowledge. Not any old knowledge, not any ordinary knowledge, but knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. And one's ability to speak and act in the correct and right way. This is hikmah. Subhanallah. And Allah is telling us at the end of verse 269 that none, remember, will receive admonition except people, men of understanding. And whatever you spend for spendings in sadaqa charity for Allah's cause, or whatever wow you make, be sure Allah knows it all. And for the zalimun, the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. At this point, I'd like to remind you all, we have our bag for the charity, for the sadaqa. So as soon as you hear the ayahs, act upon them, so that you can digest and take on the new ayahs the next day, inshallah. This is how we bring the Quran into our lives, how we bring it into our daily routine, into our actions. If you think, yes, I will give, that is a trick of shaitan. Procrastination, he'll make you think that you've got plenty of time. As soon as you hear, you do the niyyah that you will do something about it. If you disclose your sadaqa, almsgiving, it is well. So, okay, if you're giving it in front of somebody, get somebody else gets to know, it is well. Because sometimes by you giving it in front of someone, what will it do? Encourage them to good, well done, mashallah. Encourage them, inspire them, remind them maybe they had thought about it, but they'd forgotten. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, it is well. But if you conceal them and give them to the poor, that is better for you. So it's even better if you don't go around broadcasting it and give to the poor. Allah will expiate you some of your sins, and Allah is well acquainted with what you do. Not upon you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is their guidance. But Allah guides whom He wills. Subhanallah. Again, sometimes we get hurt and upset and we get very agitated. But this again is a reminder for all of us. What was the main purpose, what was the main aim of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us, for mankind? Exactly, to bring us the knowledge of Islam. So he was to act as a messenger, exactly. His main aim was to convey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, the guidance part is not up to you. Are you with me? Yes? Do you follow the ayah? That the main aim was to convey. And that's what our main aim is. Whether somebody absorbs it, takes it in, and is guided or not, then that is not your part to be concerned about. Not upon you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is their guidance, but Allah guides whom He wills. And whatever you spend in good, it is for yourselves. When you spend not, except seeking Allah's countenance. And whatever you spend in good, it will be repaid to you in full, and you shall not be wronged. Subhanallah. How many times do we give something and we think, should I, shouldn't I? Should I, shouldn't I? And then you give. Subhanallah. Only this week it's happened and I was surprised, subhanallah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns it to you. But He doesn't return it as a one. He returned it as a double. Or many, many times. Subhanallah. Sisters, again, wake up and realize that He is returning you your favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it will be repaid to you in full. Charity is for Fuqara, the poor, who in Allah's cause are restricted from travel and cannot move about in the land for trade or work. The one who knows them not, the one who knows them not thinks that they are rich because of their modesty, subhanAllah. You may know them by their mark. Sisters, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to look for those relatives, friends, people in our communities that we know are struggling. This is describing those who are struggling but will not go out to beg. They're trying, but they can do with a little bit of help. You may know them by their mark. They do not beg of people at all. Subhanallah. They do not beg of people at all. And whatever you spend in good, surely Allah knows it well. Those who spend their wealth in Allah's cause by night and day, in secret and in public, they shall have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Narrated Abu Huraira, the Prophet ﷺ said, seven people will be shaded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under His shade on the day of resurrection, when there will be no shade except His. And they are amongst them, I will give you all seven actually, for verse 274, a just ruler, a young man who's been brought up in the worship of Allah, a man whose heart is attached to the mosques, who offers the five compulsory Jama'at congregational prayers in the mosques. Two persons who love each other only for Allah's sake, and they meet and part in Allah's cause. A man who refuses the call of a charming woman of noble birth for illegal sexual intercourse with her, and says, I fear Allah. Number six, a person who practices charity so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. We've all heard that hadith many, many times, haven't we? But, subhanAllah, the reward is immense. The shade of the throne, when there is no shade. And finally, for that hadith, number seven, a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion, and his eyes become flooded with tears. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 2. Hadith number 504. Verse 275 now. That brings us to the end of the spending. Now, a telling off. And the severity of something that's taken so lightly in society today. Those who eat riba. What is riba, everybody? Interest in everyday terms, yes? Usury, riba. Will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. That is because they say trading is only like riba, whereas Allah has permitted trading and forbidden riba. Do you see the difference? Trading is, what's the word for trading? Trading is business, and it is allowed. But riba is forbidden. So whosoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops eating riba shall not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah to judge. SubhanAllah. So you did it once. Shall not be punished for the past. You did it once by mistake but didn't know. But if you continue to do, let's see. Shall not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah. Again, it doesn't exactly say you'll be forgiven, but Allah Ta'ala says his case is for Allah. That's for him to judge. But whoever returns to riba, such are the dwellers of the fire. They will abide in it. Allah will destroy riba and will give increase for sadaqah. And Allah likes not the disbelievers, the sinners. Sisters, verses 275 and 276. Telling us the emergency of stopping and getting rid of all riba in our lives. Yes? Riba is like a growth. It appears like a growth, like a tumor. Exactly, well done. It's like a tumor. Inwardly, it's a killing. It's a cancer. It's not a healthy growth. Whereas sadaqah appears as if it's a depletion, as if it's going down, but it's benefiting. How many of us in society today realize this? Only if we were to realize. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that growth that you think is growing will destroy. Allah will destroy and will give increase for sadaqah. And for riba, we looked at it in detail. Anyone who gives interest, takes interest, deals with interest, writes and records. Okay? So, if any of you are in the misconception that we don't take it, we only give it, it's still prohibited. Verse 2:77. Truly those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, and perform a salah, and give zakah, they will have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Subhanallah. So straight after riba, we are being told to do what? Righteous deeds, believe, do righteous deeds, number 2 and number 3, salah, and give zakah. Again, from spending, we go on to zakah. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that spending in His way, when you find it a hardship, don't do that. Don't think of it as difficult. Thank Him for these blessings, that you are in the circle of Islam. So do these compulsory requirements, obligatory duties for every Muslim. Because on them there shall be no fear, and nor shall they grieve. Every time you feel afraid or you feel sad about something, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran, so look at yourselves. Where have I gone wrong? Why am I scared? Why am I grieving? Because Allah ta'ala says that the believer won't. So maybe have I slipped on my salah? Have I slipped on my zakah? Reflect. Where have I gone wrong? Have I stopped doing righteous good deeds? Just to be able to say the kalima and stopping there is not enough. Constantly we're being told that you have to believe and do good deeds. O you who believe, be afraid of Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba from now onwards. If you are really believers, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us another opportunity now. Okay? If it's happened, give it up now. Give up what remains to you. So an opportunity to clean yourselves of this filth. Subhanallah. And if you do not do it, then take a notice of war from Allah. Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Sisters, I'm going to repeat verse 2:79. And if you do not do it, then take a notice of war from Allah and His Messenger. For if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Deal not unjustly by asking more than your capital sums, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sums. Capital sums. Interest, we've just seen, is haram. In other words, interest is forbidden. Yes? There's no other word for it. If somebody said to you, would you like a bacon butty? What would you all say? Loud and clear, what would you all say? If anybody said to you, would you like a pork sausage? Very extreme, horrible examples for a Muslim. You'd get very cross. You'd be upset. How dare she ask me about these two things? Why would you get cross? Why are you upset? What's wrong with the pork sausage? It's forbidden. But when somebody says to you, would you like to take a loan on interest and buy a new car? We don't get upset because everybody else is doing it. Sisters, the intensity is a lot far. It's not even the same because Allah Ta'ala is telling us in this verse that there's open war with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The intensity is far greater. If you do not do it, if you don't stop, then take a notice of war from Allah. Scholars have discussed this ayah as being, ayah 279, as being the harshest verse in the Quran. It's the only verse in the Quran which tells us that Allah Ta'ala is directly in war, is a notice of war for us. Scholars have said it's the harshest ayah. If you don't know, do it, then take a notice of war. Then there's no hope, because then you are fighting against Allah and who? And His Messenger. But again, as soon as your heart sinks down, as soon as you start to feel, oh no, Allah Ta'ala says, but if you repent, so Allah Ta'ala is giving us that exit door. If you repent, then your capital sums will be given to you. Then you'll have what you had. You shall have the basics that you put in. Deal not unjustly. And you shall not be dealt with unjustly. Verse 280, and if the debtor is in a hard time, has no money, then grant him time till it is easy for him to repay. But if you remit it by way of charity, that is better for you if you did but know. Subhanallah. What does remit mean? Remit. Good. Okay, if you cancel it out. But be afraid of the day when you shall be brought back to Allah. Then every person will be paid what he earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. Here we're looking at debts, paying back debts. Debts are something which, you tell me, is a debt allowed in Islam or not allowed? It's allowed, good, but it's disliked. It's not exactly encouraged. And we see that from many hadiths from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One that comes to mind from Lady Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, when a funeral was brought to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for janazah prayer. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, was this person in debt? And when answered yes, when answered no, was this person in debt? When answered no, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did the janazah prayer, no problem. A second person was, janazah came, the funeral, and asked, was this person in debt? And when the answer was in the yes, in the affirmative, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed to a companion to do the janazah prayer. So that showed the discomfort of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon a debt. Now, in verse 282, the method of taking and borrowing and lending money, taking a debt, okay? 282 is the longest verse in the longest surah, okay? The longest verse in the Quran. Here we go. And this is giving us 14 points that deal with the contracting of a debt. Verse 282. O you who believe, when you contract a debt for a fixed period, write it down. Rule 1. How many times do we just give some money to someone and we say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's all right. But then over the same amount of money, we're in having arguments and disputes and fighting to the degree that there can be bloodshed on money or land. Once started off friendly has gone into evil. Yes? Becomes a crime. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the methodology used to prevent such disasters in society. O you who believe, when you contract a debt for a fixed period, write it down. Let a scribe write it down in justice between you. Let not the scribe refuse to write as Allah has taught him. So let him write. Let him, the debtor, who incurs the liability, dictate. So again, clear instructions that the person who's borrowing the money, the debtor, will be dictating. What does that mean? He's saying it loud and clear. There's a few reasons for this that we looked at when we did the tafsir, that he's dictating because he might not be knowledgeable enough to be able to read. But if he's verbally dictating, it's being heard, he's aware of what he's borrowing and when for, how long for. Do you follow? Let him, the debtor who incurs the liability debt, dictate, and he must fear Allah, his Lord, and diminish not anything of what he owes. But if the debtor is of poor understanding or weak, or is unable to dictate for himself, then let his guardian dictate in justice. And get two witnesses out of your own men. And if there are not two men available, then a man and two women, such as you agree for witnesses, so that if one of them, two women, errs, the other can remind her. And the witness should not refuse when they are called for evidence. You should not become weary to write it, your contract. It meaning your contract. Whether it be small or big, for its fixed term, that is more just with Allah, more solid as evidence and more convenient to prevent doubts among yourselves. Subhanallah. To prevent doubts among yourselves. Save when it is a present trade, except for when it is a present trade, which you carry out on the spot among yourselves. Then there is no sin on you if you do not write it down. But take witnesses whenever you make a commercial contract. Let neither scribe nor witness suffer any harm. So that's for both the lender and the borrower. Let neither scribe nor witness suffer any harm. But if you do such harm, it would be wickedness in you. So be afraid of Allah, and Allah teaches you, and Allah is the all-knower of each and everything. Brings us to the end of verse 282. And if you are on a journey and cannot find a scribe, then let there be a pledge taken. Then if one of you entrusts the other, let the one who is entrusted discharge his trust faithfully. And let him be afraid of Allah, his Lord, and conceal not the evidence, for he who hides it, surely his heart is sinful. And Allah is all knower of what you do. To Allah belongs, before we go into verse 284, Hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari for verse 283. Narrated Lady Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the Prophet ﷺ bought some foodstuff on credit for a limited period and mortgaged his armour for it. He left that instead of what he'd bought, his armour. Reflection time. What's happened to society today? Do you think they've read these verses of the Quran, or at least understood them? Or are we acting upon these verses? We wouldn't be in such a mess, would we, if we'd abided by the rules? Some things we like to think and behave on. Is there gelatin in this? Is there beef gelatin? Is there pork gelatin? And then bigger issues in the wider spectrum we ignore. Is it not true? And that's why in the wider spectrum we're in disgrace and humility in society. Mention Muslim and we're in trouble. Because we left the bigger orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ignored them. And now, after all these commands, Allah Ta'ala is reminding us again why He wants us to do these. Because we've taken on the oath, we've taken on the job of being a slave of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that we are submitted to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is telling us who He is. He is the Malik. He is the King of everything. Verse 2, 8, 4. Verse 284 to 286 is taking us towards the end, and the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah in the Quran, subhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to fulfill our mission. Sisters, it's the basis of our religion, these two ayahs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites these last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, they will suffice for him. They will suffice for him. What's special about the last two verses? I'll ask you in a second. I'll do 284 first, to give you a bit more time to think. Verse 284, to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is on the earth. And whether you disclose what is in your own selves or conceal it, Allah will call you to account for it. Then He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. And Allah is able to do all things. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Conceals it. Allah Ta'ala is saying whether you disclose. Disclose means what? Whether you disclose means, whether you show it, or whether you conceal it, hide it, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to account for it. So when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what's in your heart, is it not best to keep it clean? Subhanallah. Automatic tazkiyah method. That when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see your heart. If you know your best friend is coming, or your mother-in-law is coming, you tidy up your cupboards, don't you? You don't just tidy up on the surface. If a friend from another city is coming and just staying for 3 hours, you're not bothered about the rest of the house or your bedroom. But if your mother-in-law is coming, and you know she will look in your cupboards, it's a different story, isn't it? A few smirks come out there. Sisters, when you know that the greatest, our Creator, the one that to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth, the one that is the owner of everything, can look into my heart, He's got His deep scanners, then is it worth keeping any ill feelings or grudges or horribleness in yourself? Is it? Any anger, any anguish? Is it not best to keep clean? Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sharing with the companions that the next person who enters will go to paradise. The next person who enters the masjid, the Prophet's mosque, will go to paradise. And all the companions became curious, and one even more so than the rest, decided to go and stay at his house and find out what was special about that companion. Only to find out what was his quality. He said, you do everything just like I do. We do wudu, we do salah, you read the Quran, you do everything like majority of us, and I do what you're doing. But then, why did the Prophet ﷺ say that you are guaranteed, why did he tell us that you will be going to Jannah? And what was his special quality, you tell me. Exactly. He said, before I go to bed, before I go to sleep, I have a clean heart. I forgive any ills. I don't keep any ills or ill feelings towards anyone. I forgive and go to sleep. Even if somebody's upset me, I don't keep it in my heart. Subhanallah, sisters, let's get rid of anything that we have in our hearts right now, right today. Take a tissue, take a Brillo pad, take bleach, take what you like and scrub that heart clean. Yes? Get rid of those clots and filth. Now we approach the final two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And these are declaring to us mainly their dua, but they're telling us that everything is in command with Allah's orders. From an atom, tiny, tiny atom, to the stars and the galaxies, everything is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you think, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to achieve here? What is the purpose of this verse here? As we close Surah Al-Baqarah, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that everything is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Exactly. To encourage us. And so the question immediately comes to mind, that are we obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we ought to? Are we obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we ought to? Before we go into the verses, I want to share with you a hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 5, hadith number 345. Narrated Abu Masud, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recited the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah at night, that will be sufficient for him. How many of us know this? How many of us recite this? How many of us share this with our children? Think about it. We all say, go and brush your teeth, have your milk and go to bed. But before going to bed, do we say, recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah? Sisters, food for thought. Let's look at verse 285, inshallah. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. They say, we make no distinction between one another of his messengers. And they say, we hear and we obey. Subhanallah. Highlight that part, please. We hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord. And to you is the final return. To you is the return of all. Subhanallah. Because why? If we know this, what will it do to our behavior? What will it do, Sister Nasreen Sadiq? It'll improve, exactly. It will change and improve, inshallah. We hear and we obey. What is the Arabic for this? Loud and clear, everybody. Good. Okay. Verse 286. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. He gets reward for that which he has earned. And he is punished. He is punished for that evil which he has earned. Subhanallah. Again, so reassuring. Each man for himself. You do good, you'll be getting the reward for that. You do bad, you'll get the reward for that. We can't. Tell me, what can't you do? What is this part of the verse telling us that you can't do on the Day of Judgment? What can't? Excellent. You can't. Yeah. Prior to that, what can't you do? You can't pass the book. You can't put the blame on anyone else. Each man for himself, for herself, and like you just said, you can't rely on others either. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. He gets reward for that which he has earned. And he is punished for that evil which he has earned. Often we hear in society when somebody dies, that they have taken their nikis with them. But you take your baddies as well. Yes? Good deeds and bad deeds. Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden like that which you did lay on those before us. Our Lord, put not on us a burden greater than we have strength to bear. Pardon us and grant us forgiveness. Grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. You are our Mola, patron, supporter and protector, and give us victory over the disbelieving people. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ameen. Beautiful verses brings us to the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. Congratulations to you all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be full of iman and obedient and subservient to him, inshallah. Sisters, it's important we reflect, what is my iman level like? Am I surrendering? Am I submitting myself completely and utterly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not just when I need him, then I do break down and I go down in prayer and sujood. But in good times, wedding times, am I doing my weddings, my celebrations, my good times, my happy times in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah? Am I living my life the way my Rabb wants me to live? This submission or surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in our actions at all times. This is obedience. Obedience is submission or surrender visible in our actions. When a person recognizes her Rabb, that such a person does du'as as these, that Ya Rabbi, forgive us. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Congratulations to you all as we complete the first surah. Alhamdulillah, the beauty of the miraculous Quran has been unfolded. Many treasures we found. I'd like you to reflect on how you feel with reflections. Think, pause and share, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. We'll have a break there. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.